Lord, we pray that as we study this passage together, we may learn more of who you are and who we are in Christ. Amen. Have you ever found prayer difficult or been hesitant about sharing something of your faith? If so, you're in good company because you have something in common with most of us here today. The Apostle Paul speaks on those very subjects in the passage that we just heard read. So this morning, we will explore it in two parts. First, looking at our speaking to God about people, followed by our speaking to people about God, which is the sharing of our faith. But first, a bit of background. Over the last 7 or so weeks, we've been looking at this letter that Paul wrote 2,000 years ago to Christians living in a place called Colossae, and today is the final part. They lived in a mixed community alongside unbelievers and those from other faiths, rather like us. His motivation for writing was to warn them about false teaching and to give advice on how they, as believers, ought to live. This letter, it would have been read aloud to the original recipients. It could have sounded like a list of instructions, but it doesn't, because it is topped and tailed with prayer. Right at the beginning, in chapter 1, Paul speaks of his prayers for those people. There's something very special about knowing someone has prayed for you, isn't there? And then at the very end, in today's passage, Paul urges them to pray. See verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Prayer, it's all about our speaking to God about people. It connects us in a very real sense with our Father in heaven. At home group, the home group that I attend, we always begin by having a good chat, and we've got a master baker, so we eat cake as well. And then we move into prayer, followed by our Bible study. But I never cease to be amazed at how easily we can move from laughing about something quite trivial to speaking with our Father in heaven, the creator of the universe. Jesus, who is the very image of the invisible God, as chapter 1 tells us. He who was with God in the beginning and through whom all things were made, emptied himself, took our sins upon the cross, so that you and I could come into God's presence and have a relationship with him there. Made it possible for us to speak to him anytime, any place, anywhere. Paul knew if those early believers put Christ at the very center, if they depended on him through prayer, they would be equipped to stand firm against false teaching and other distractions in the community in which they lived. This is why Paul says in verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. He goes on, verse 3, pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Verse 4, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. We pray for so many things, don't we? Work, family, guidance, health. But here, Paul's focus is on the building up of those believers' faith. And as we just read, he seeks prayer for himself to be enabled as he strives to share the gospel message. This is exactly the type of prayer Jesus had in mind when he said, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you." John chapter 15. We have opportunities to pray during services, prayer ministry afterwards, and then throughout the week we have prayer meetings, home groups, and of course our own private time of prayer. In our passage, Epaphras belonged to the church at Colossae. See verse 12, halfway down. This is what Paul says. "He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature, fully assured." Wouldn't it be great to hear that people are praying for us here like that? We pray, but do we wrestle in prayer for one another to stand firm in our faith? Or struggle in prayer for each and every ministry here and the people who serve in those ministries? Probably not. That word wrestle is to push against whatever's stopping us from moving forward, like the excuses we give ourselves for not attending that prayer meeting or setting enough time aside for private prayer. Those early believers had false teaching to contend with. Today we face that and can get caught up with the pace of 21st century living and our own self-centeredness, which can push Christ away from occupying the center of our lives. There's a spiritual battle going on for our hearts and minds. In his letter, Paul mentions a man named Demas in verse 14, who sends greetings to the church at Colossae. But we later learn in 2 Timothy that he lost his faith. We don't know why, but nobody is immune. So let us push through that barrier together by wrestling in prayer for one another. Then one day we may see the fruit from our efforts that we ought. We've just been looking at what the passage says about our speaking to God about people. And we will now look at what it says about our speaking to people about God, the sharing of our faith. Now, have you ever been considered to be an expert at anything amongst friends, family, or at work? You may have a special skill or, I don't know, a strange and obscure hobby. But whatever it is, as soon as word gets round, people will put you on speed dial. You may be the only Christian that a friend, relative, or colleague knows. So to them, you may be the expert on God. Years ago, before I came to faith, I became inquisitive as to why people believed there was a God. And around the same time, I bumped into someone at work who we'll call Anna, who I had once heard was a Christian. So I asked her. She invited me to lunch, which was great. Now, Anna couldn't answer all my questions, but that didn't matter. What mattered was that I saw in her someone who had what looked like a genuine belief in this God, who she clearly seemed to love. I wasn't converted, but that meeting, it whet my appetite. It made me want to discover more about this God for myself. In our passage, see verse 5, Paul says, "Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders are unbelievers, and make the most of every opportunity." I thank God for Anna because that is exactly what she did. Who knows, if I didn't cross paths with her, I may not have what I have in Christ now. When we put Christ at the very centre of our lives, he begins to work in us, transforming us into his likeness. And it is from there a desire to share our faith with others comes from. That's where it begins to grow. You might already be quite open about sharing your faith, or maybe find the whole thing a bit daunting. There's no need for big announcements. How about the next time someone says, "What did you do at the weekend?" Say something like, "Shopping on Saturday, quiet evening, and went to church on Sunday." Christmas is round the corner. Along with talking about presents and family and crackers and wine, throw in there that day's important to you and why. Just putting it out there that we have a faith, like my friend Anna, will create opportunities that can alter the entire course of someone else's life. The greatest thing that you or I could do is assist just one person on their journey towards Christ, towards life. So as verse 5 says, "Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders and make the most of every opportunity." Paul goes on, see verse 5, halfway down. "Let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." Grace and salt. I love chips, but if you put too much salt on them, the taste is overbearing. Too little and they're just boring. But if you put the right amount on, I'll eat the whole lot. Now, a Bible dictionary I consulted said to have a conversation seasoned in salt is to be witty and amusing. Now, reading that, I thought, surely we're not meant to go around cracking jokes with people, because they'd all fall flat. It probably just means engage with others, meet them where they are. Salty speech, I thought, can also mean don't compromise the truth. We can do that, for instance, when speaking to people about something like the cross of Christ. If we skim over the bits we think they might find difficult, like human sinfulness, their own sinfulness, that could dilute. No, it could actually totally distort the truth. In that last part of verse 5 that we just read, Paul is basically saying, graceful and salty speech will help us to answer people's questions. But have you ever been asked a difficult one, like, why does God allow suffering in the world? They can come out of the blue. Do your homework. Prepare answers. Practice in the mirror if it helps. The good news is our answers do not have to be polished. Share and a desire to share our faith. That's all we need. We sow the seeds. It is only God who causes them to grow. If we are willing, He is more than able. It's teamwork. Paul wrote to the church at Colossae to encourage them in their faith, so that they may stand firm against false teaching within the community in which they lived. And we've been looking at that letter over the last 7 or so weeks. And this morning we had been looking at the last part and focused on prayer, and reminded ourselves of how through Christ we come into God's presence and can receive all we need from there. Secondly, we looked at the sharing of our faith and how a desire to share with others comes from having Christ at the center of our lives. I like the way Paul ends his letter. He lists the names of people who send greetings and prayers to those early believers, and tells them to share their letter with others and also to read theirs. Laodicea is mentioned at verse 16. There's so much activity. This is a picture of God at work through His Spirit in the world, and He is just as active today. Christ is the head. And if you are in Christ, you are part of the body. And He chooses to grow His kingdom, make Himself known through ordinary people, through the body, like through people like you and me. So let us join those early believers by fixing our eyes on Him through wrestling in prayer, reading scripture and worship, until we become immersed, fully rooted in Him. Only then can Christ's light reflect from us and onto those we have so much good news to share. Let us pray. Lord, thank You that You are God. As we read Your words, may we truly rediscover Your truths and acquire a desire to speak to You more in prayer, as we strive to put You at the very center of our lives. Amen.